that just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus. So
this is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Please turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It's interesting to me how the Lord has put the service together today. This text is next in our series through Mark, and it's very fitting, both with the song that was picked in the order of service and with the fact that some of our church members are going on a missions trip this week. We'll have a special time of prayer for them towards the close of the service, and I think it should help us to read this passage with particularly keen eyes. Mark chapter 10, a brief passage, verses 28 through 31. We'll be considering the theme today of leaving and receiving for Jesus and the gospel. Leaving and receiving for Jesus and the gospel. Mark 10, 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but, or except, he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in this time, houses, and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. It's a potent passage to be sure. I think we understand it even more clearly when we remember that this follows on the heels of Christ's exchange with one individual. It's been a few weeks since we were there on a Sunday morning service, so let me call your attention back to chapter 10, verses 17 and following. This is Mark's account of what we call the rich young ruler's exchange with Christ. And in this account, a young man who had a position of influence and a lot of money came to Jesus and said, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tested him repeatedly, and the man thought he was doing fine, passing the test with flying colors. And then finally, Jesus brought out the essay question on the final exam. And he said this, Go, sell what you have, give the money to the poor, and follow me. And at that, the man failed miserably. It says he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He said, I don't mind keeping commandments for Jesus. I don't mind calling him good master. But giving up everything I have to follow him, that's a little more price than I had in mind. Immediately upon the heels of that, we find Peter addressing Christ and saying, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Do you see how that would follow in Peter's mind? Jesus tells the rich young ruler, leave everything behind and follow me. And he doesn't do it. And Peter's thinking, wow, that is what we did. I don't know Peter's motive at this point. It could have been that he was looking for some sympathy. We left everything to follow you. It could be that he was looking for some congratulations or some attaboys. It could be that Peter was tacitly asking, well, Lord, what are we going to get for this? Because in fact, Peter and others of Jesus' disciples had done exactly what Jesus told the rich young ruler to do. Turn quickly back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, don't take my word for it. Peter and others had left everything to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he, Jesus, saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets. That would be like a carpenter leaving his hammer. That'd be like an electrician leaving his pliers and his voltmeter. They left their tools for their trade. And they followed him. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he, Jesus, saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And Jesus called them, and they immediately left the ship and the father and followed him. So Peter is comparing what they have done to what the rich young ruler did not do. This rich young ruler came and said, Jesus, what do I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, leave everything and follow me. And Peter's thinking, wow, well, if that's the case, we're doing pretty good. I wonder what we're going to get out of it. I wonder if we can get some sympathy or some encouragement here. And we are often critical of Peter, but on this occasion, and sometimes Jesus is too, thou savorest not the things of heaven, get thee behind me, Satan, things like that, Jesus said to him. But is there any rebuke here in Jesus' reply to Peter? There's no rebuke at all. Jesus doesn't contradict Peter. He doesn't say, well, no, you didn't leave everything for me. He didn't say, well, you've not been very good followers anyways. Jesus takes Peter's statement at face value. And instead of contradicting him, he encourages him. Notice that he does not gush with sympathy and say, oh, you poor baby. You've had such a hard time. It really wasn't very nice of me to ask you to give up all of that. That's not Jesus' response. So it's not contradiction. It's not gushing sympathy. Rather, it's encouragement. Jesus didn't point to himself and say, look how much I left behind for you. He instead pointed out that anyone that sacrifices for Jesus will always be rewarded. Amen. Anyone who gives something up for Jesus or the gospel will be rewarded. Yeah. Jesus doesn't say, I feel sorry for you, or you haven't given up anything. What are you whining about? I'm the one that left heaven. Jesus encouraged him and said, yeah, you've left some things, but don't worry, you will be rewarded for it. I'd like us to consider the leaving and then the receiving. Before we do, the text is so powerful, I think we should read it again. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. So if you're Matthew, come back to Mark now. Mark 10, 29. What exactly did Jesus say? Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or family, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he, the one that left these things, shall receive an hundredfold. Now, in this time, in this life, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, he will receive eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and last first. As we consider this morning the leaving, I'd like us to note, first of all, the cause of the leaving. The cause of the leaving. Jesus makes it clear that these aren't people who are leaving family, leaving security of some kind, just because they're wandering spirits. He's not saying, well, these are just people who like to travel. He's saying these are people who left these things for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel. Let me encourage you this morning. Don't misappropriate this passage. Don't say, well, I'm going to desert my family and Jesus is going to bless me for it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about leaving behind, giving up things that we love, things that we like, giving those things up for Jesus' sake. Not to pursue a new career or a greater hobby, to leave those things behind for Jesus' sake, and specifically the gospel's sake, to follow Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. Jesus is saying, give something up so that you can help somebody else find me. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to leave something behind so that someone who doesn't know me yet can know me? That's the cause of the leaving. Secondly, the cost of the leaving. What should we sacrifice? What should we leave? I tried to punctuate it verbally for you. The list that Jesus tells us we should leave very cleanly falls into three categories, doesn't it? He talks about leaving your house. And then he lists a lot of relatives. I think we can call that family. And then he talks about leaving your lands. In an agrarian culture, your land is everything. I mean, you can lose a building, you can lose a tool, but if you don't have land, you have no way to grow food. You have no inheritance. You have no means of sustaining yourself. Your land is your livelihood. Your land is your life. So Jesus says, leave your home, leave your family, leave your livelihood. These are the three categories of things that Jesus mentions that we should leave. All three of these things can easily become idols in our lives, can they not? Yes. Have you been tempted to idolize your home, your family, or your vocation? It's easy to get an entitlement mentality, isn't it? I mean, these are just basics. Of course I'm going to have a home. Of course I'm supposed to love my family. Of course God expects me to have a job by which to make a living. Well, hold on a second. Does God owe us any of those things? He doesn't. Simply the fact that many of us have enjoyed these things for generations, we've come to think that God has to give them to us. God has to give me a certain kind of home. God has to give me certain experience in my family life. God has to give me certain fulfilling vocational experiences. God doesn't have to give you any of those things. And God is more important than all of those things. We need to remember that in 21st century North America, we live in a bubble. We live in an anomaly of history. The kind of security that we experience, I don't mean like security from robbers. I mean the security, the stability of the economy, of the political situation in this country, the stability of the job market, the relative likelihood of a family that stays together in the sense that you're not having lots of children die as infants. Infant mortality is really low. You're not having children die because there's not enough food for them. You're not having children torn away because they've been sold into a slave market. We expect a certain norm for families here in the United States. But that's a bubble in history. That's not the way it's always been. Because of American prosperity, we sometimes think that certain things, we can expect them from God. But we need to recall that God doesn't owe us anything. Now, having said that, God may not be calling you to absolute poverty or to complete isolation from your family. But surely, surely if the scriptures mean anything to us today, they mean that God is calling us to leave something behind. If he gets a hold of your heart, if he touches your life like he did the apostles, shouldn't that mean that something happens to your value system so that you're willing to give some things up for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake? I mean, if the gospel is as earth-shattering and as life-transforming as we say it is, shouldn't it make what I value different from the unsaved people in the world? It should create in me a value system that is supernatural and countercultural. I should value things that the world doesn't value, and I should be willing to sacrifice, to leave behind or give up things that the world would never think of giving up. I want to deal with the three categories that Jesus mentions individually. Number one, your home. What can we say about home? I don't know about you, but I love going home. I love to be in my little castle. Maybe the ladies would say they love to be in their nest. I don't know. I think castles are more exciting. But you want to be home sometimes. And you want it to be yours, and you want it to be just so. You want the picture on the wall to be just right. You want the portcullis at the gate of the castle to be just correct. You want your home to be your home. There's the comfort there of a place for you. Let me tell you this morning, if your home is everything that you've ever wanted it to be, and if HGTV gets more of your attention than the Bible, perhaps you need to ask God to replace your American dream with a heavenly vision. Your life is not about your house. God didn't save you so that your domicile could be magazine ready. We sometimes think worldliness is watching dirty movies and getting drunk. Worldliness can be worshiping your home. Because people in the world do that. Maybe you need to give up a home improvement project that you had planned. Maybe you need to hold off on an upgrade, or maybe things aren't going to be as spick and span as you'd like them to be, but you give those things up not because you're lazy, not because you're a bad steward, but because you are so devoted to Jesus and to the cause of the gospel that you don't have time for Martha Stewart living. You don't have time for the tool guy to have a garage that, or for you to have a garage that the tool guy is jealous of. You're too busy following the Lord. You've devoted time to touching lives with the gospel, and so you know what? I do have a few weeds in my garden. And yeah, the living room really should be repainted. But that person needs the Lord. I'll paint it later. Maybe. Leave the comforts of home, so that you can be closer to Jesus and do something more for the gospel. As we come to the second category, I understand this is a delicate issue, the matter of leaving family for Jesus' sake and the gospel. Again, we are very spoiled in this culture. And throughout history, many, if not the majority of Christians, had to leave their families when they turned to Christ. Let's not forget that. Don't tell me Jesus would never ask me to give up my family. Oh, yes, he would. He did several times in his ministry. Now, the Bible elevates family. Make no mistake about it. The Bible teaches us that husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to support their husbands. Children are to obey their parents. Parents are not to provoke their children to wrath. The Bible teaches us more about the family than any popular book you can find today. And yet, God will brook no rival. And if you love your family more than you love God, you are an idol worshiper. Sometimes Christians have wrongly, sinfully neglected or abused family in the name of Christ. And that's bad. It doesn't please the Lord. But we know human nature, don't we? Beware the swing of the pendulum. And so just because somebody did wrong to their family and called it Christianity, don't say, well, I'm going to worship my family and never do anything for Christ. We are to be balanced. Yes, amen. And the abuses of one generation do not remove Mark chapter 10 from sacred scripture. And Jesus said, leave your family for me. Jesus is asking us to leave the comforts of support, guidance, affection, intimacy, and joy. Oh, family is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's his plan. It's not bad, but it's not God. If you're living in such a way that you will never ever miss one moment with your family, but you never add to God's family, if you are more concerned with being the perfect mother than you are with introducing people to the Heavenly Father, maybe you need to ask God to replace your pursuit of your own personal fairy tale with the pursuit of the kingdom of God. Love your family members. Honor them. Serve them. Enjoy them. But don't think of life as one giant game of playing with dollies. Give up a little bit of that time with your family and spend it with your Savior. Then the time you spend with your family will be better. Reach out to the fatherless and the orphans. Take your family and engage your whole family in efforts to share the love of God and His truth with those who've never experienced it. I'm not saying never spend time with your family. I'm saying spend time with your family and do the work of the Lord. Amen. The third thing Christ asks us to leave is the comforts of our security. He said, leave your lands. I mean, in that culture, if you had land, you were going to be okay. We think of it as our job, our vocation, don't we? As long as I have a job, everything else will work out. If I have a certain amount of assets, if I have a certain income stream, if I have some resources on which I can depend, I'll be fine. Jesus says, leave that behind. If your vocation has consumed your vision and your professional success is what keeps you going every day, maybe you should beg God for the grace to subject or to submit your career path to the straight and narrow way. Be more concerned with your Savior's approval than you are with your boss's approval. Take a pass on the promotion. Don't accept all the extra hours that are offered to you. Be a faithful employee, yes, but earn what you need to live and then move on. Earn what you need to feed your family, to have enough to give to others, and then spend some time building a ministry instead of some corporate empire. Jesus unapologetically asks us to leave behind the comforts of home, family, and vocation. But friends, this passage is not primarily a rebuke passage. This passage is an encouraging passage. It assumes that Christians are going to do this. And then it goes on to say, be encouraged, be pleased, be rejoicing about that. We've seen the leaving, now consider the receiving. What did Jesus say? He says, if you leave these things behind, you will receive an hundredfold now in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. So let's consider this receiving, this blessing, this encouragement that God gives to us. The receiving that God promises to us who leave is multiplied. It's a hundredfold. He says, if you leave a little bit behind, I will give you more than that. The receiving happens both now in this life and in the life to come. That sounds like a good investment to me. The receiving, however, is tempered with persecutions. Don't get the idea of the prosperity gospel. Okay, I'm going to sow, you know, a $10 bill in the offering plate and God's going to give me $1,000 for it. You know, he says there'll be persecutions along the way. Don't get the wrong idea here. It is qualified. Our time quickly slips away. Let me illustrate for you this principle of the receiving that follows the leaving. If we had time to read the entire chapter of Romans 16, you would find that the Apostle Paul, in closing this great doctrinal letter, specifically greets by name almost 30 people that love God there in Rome. And to the best of our knowledge, Paul hadn't even been to Rome yet. He had 30 friends in Rome, though he'd never been there. Why? Because he left his family, left his home, left his vocation. And God blessed him and gave him brothers and sisters and family members that he could love there in Rome. Had Paul continued in the natural course of life, he wouldn't have had that blessing. The Scripture has borne this pattern out. But I know that many of you have also done some leaving for Jesus' sake. And though I've been very direct in the message this morning, I do recognize that many of you have left things behind for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel. And if I know it, how much more does He know? Some of you have taught Sunday school, and so you spent your Saturday evening, perhaps, or all week long your evenings, preparing those lessons when you could have been chilling out in the garage or doing some new crochet or something. Some of you are Christian school teachers, and you've given countless hours. Maybe you're a treasure seekers worker, or you've tried to give of your family's life to international students who are strangers. They're new to this country. And let me encourage you and tell you without qualification, God will bless you for that. Anytime you leave things behind for the sake of Jesus and the gospel, He will bless you for it. I don't know exactly how, but I know that He will. I want to give you one other illustration. If you didn't read the bulletin, it's there. So I'm going to read it to you now. We got an email this week from a man by the name of David. He says, "Greetings, Mr. Lee. It's been a long time. I hope you can still remember me. How is school? How are the church members, and how is your family? I left USA 4 years ago. Just like I always said, I do not forget the kindness of church members. Atkinson's, Baggage's, Gray's, Vector's, Wright's, Kent, Wade, George. Sometimes I feel I have not left for that long. I just left yesterday. Because I can still picture those faces clearly. I can still remember their expressions, their tones, and their smiles. Unfortunately, I lost their email addresses. So if you can give me their email address, I will appreciate. I just want to show them my gratitude. Say hi to them. Tell them I am okay. And I want to know how they're doing. God bless you. David Soon." And I know that there's members of Dire Baptist Church who could have bought toys, maybe tricycles for their own 3 children. But instead they bought a bicycle for a college student so we could get around on campus. I know there's a member of Dire Baptist Church who could have enjoyed a leisurely life in his living room with his sweetheart. But instead, took David out and taught him how to drive. I know there's a family in Dire Baptist Church that could have enjoyed spending time at home with their teenagers, playing games and maybe having a family movie night. But they spent hours and hours in conversation with David and having him over and doing things with him. And can I tell you? You've got a son. You've got a brother. In addition to the family you already had. So keep giving. Keep leaving things behind. Be balanced. But give up the American dream for Jesus' sake and the gospel. And He will bless you with brothers and sons and sisters. Family. 100-fold. As I think about people in the ministry, even some here in the congregation this morning, they're always talking about a friend or a loved one all over the world. You'd think they had 1 million grandkids. I think they do. Because they've left things behind for the sake of the gospel. Jesus closed this idea by saying, "Many that are first shall be last, and the last first." If you hear this message and refuse to leave all, or refuse to leave even something for Jesus, you're the one that loses in the end. And if you leave something for Jesus, be cheerful about it. rejoice. Because God has a way of making the apparent loser the ultimate winner.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.